very reluctant to turn that off. I love that cut. After the Rain, from the album Nueve Flamenco, that's Otmar Liebert. This is Vocal Profiling Live on VBS Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards, along with tall, blonde, tired Heather.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Yes, and I have to apologize if I am tired tonight as well, because I am tired.
And why are you tired?
Besides doing our normal very busy schedule, it's extra busy this week because we are getting ready for a really exciting expo that I'd like to invite our audience to in Columbus, Ohio. We'll be there Saturday and Sunday at the Ohio Expo Center. It's the Unlimited Possibilities. So if you're in and about Central Ohio, Sherry is giving a wonderful workshop and speech at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
And we have a free download of a computer program that we're going to let you use, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. On this show, we invite you to call us and ask questions, and we use your own voice to take a peek at the frequency vibrations of your voice. There's been lots and lots of complaints about our healthcare system and what it's doing and not doing and not serving. And because we've had the radio show and because lots of people listen, obviously, Heather's been telling me we have a lot more writers and producers and filmmakers. And tell me a little bit about those things that have been happening.
We've got two new documentaries about Sherry, Sound Health, and Bioacoustics coming up. We're currently working on. We've got a very exciting international radio show that Sherry's going to be on Monday. Watch our websites for the particulars on that.
We should tell people why we're not announcing what that actually is.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who like to emulate Sherry and her work, and they don't do us justice. In fact, they do a great injustice by doing a few things that, you know, I don't want to say sabotage, but, well, I just said it, so.
Well, they do a lot of harm. There's one couple that put out what they said was a tone box of ours, and it was nothing more than one of those jiggle boxes from an arcade game, and they were doing it for children who were wetting the bed. And the wiring was raw, and one of them really caught the bed on, not on fire, but on smoke. And this mother was so upset. I would be too if it was my baby, you know, and the mattress was smoldering. And she called here, and she was just frantic.
I would be too.
About how could we do this? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. What? Tell me what's going on here. And these people, when she called them and told them what had happened, they told her it was all my idea and she should get in contact with me. And they're just sham artists. They're shysters. And so we brought her back to the center, and we helped get everything straightened up. We gave her new equipment at no cost. We served her family at no cost. But you've got people out there giving the whole idea of sound therapy a bad name.
Right.
And they get in trouble trying to cause it, you know, say it's our fault. So we had to take some people to court, and they're not happy about that. So every time that we announce that we've got a big article coming up, or every time we did, because we don't anymore, or we've got a big show coming up in a particular place, they start a poison pen letter campaign. They're upset because they lost the lawsuit. They deserve to lose the lawsuit. They were doing a disservice to the public. They were putting children's
jeopardy
in jeopardy, and I just won't tolerate that. So these people that we've taken to court, we've traced some of these down, because most of the people who publish our stuff, and they know us. They know who we are and what we stand for. So they send us copies of these, and we just don't want anything to spoil this international show. So we're going to announce it on the day of, on the website, so that people don't have a chance to pull this kind of slimy action again. They've done it twice now, and once to a radio show and once to a publication, a really popular publication. And it puts the people who are having us on in a really bad position. And I don't want that to happen either. So we just refrain from talking about things. One of the things these people caused us to miss is the National Institute of Health asked us to do a chapter for an energy medicine book they were doing. And when these people started their poison letter campaign, they just dropped us and said that, you know, we don't want you to do this anymore. And when somebody finally got in there that we knew, they told us what had really happened, and we looked at some of the letters and tried to trace them down. And they are exactly the people that we took to court. And some of them, they made up fictitious flyers about who we are and what we do, and said they took this off the internet. But when you trace it down, it's nothing. So if any of them, you get in touch with any of them, you know, just have them sit down with you and us, and we'll see who's telling the truth. Because this is becoming a problem, because this has become so popular so quick after our appearance on other national shows, and because of the BBS and other things that we're doing, and your wonderful work as a media person, Heather, and getting us all kinds of
thank
articles.
Thank you.
And thank you for this full-page article you just got in the local paper here.
Wasn't it beautiful?
It was.
It was one of the local papers that I love, because it's actually from my hometown, and I just got in my head that I wanted Sherry and the Institute featured on the By the River page, which is a full-color page. And it was wonderful, and the folks down home are very interested now. So
yeah, we got a lot of calls about it. A couple of
radio shows. You've got a radio interview tomorrow
from the show,
from
the paper. From
the paper, and the local hospital down there has gotten a hold of it and are very interested. And one of their speech pathologists is going to become a bioacoustic practitioner.
Awesome! I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, as we get all of this publicity, and we try to be really careful with FDA and that kind of thing, and we try to be really careful with these people that we've sued and warned people about that and watch it, you know, and I am reluctant to ever sue anybody, but when they just get in your face and just taunt you, you don't have a choice, and especially when they try to copyright your own stuff to keep you from using it, you just don't have any choice.
That has happened. That's very frustrating. Very, very frustrating.
Well, in doing all of that and becoming so popular in what we do and having so many people follow us, we have kind of created a monster. A monster in that we attract way more people who are ill or have issues that want to be seen than we can possibly care for here at the center in Ohio.
And backed up until I'm hearing what?
Next November.
Yeah, November. I heard Bailey talking the other day, if we had more time, I mean, we've got waiting lists, so.
And I don't want it to be that way. When I talk to people about some of these programs and what we can do with them, I want them to have them now. I want them to be able to call us and get their vocal print done now. And that's what's prompted some of the show tonight. There was a particular listener that asked us to answer some questions, because she says, well, I'll just read it to you. But what we want from creating this monster is we need more practitioners. So the office and I and the board of directors got together, and we decided to try something. Our week-long course that trained you to be a professional instead of a business doing this costs $4,400. You have a week course. You walk out of here with a lot of equipment, not everything you need, but a lot of it, about, what, 400 or 500 pages of written material?
At least.
Computer programs, and you can set up your own practice. But at the same time, people don't have a week to come and do that, so we offer it online. And so we decided, well, Heather, you tell.
I'm very happy to announce this. The tuition with the, after feeling the really great need of all these clients, all these people who are ill, there is such a huge demand for practitioners. We decided to make it easier less expensive to become a certified bioacoustic practitioner. So we're actually offering matching tuition, which equals out, if you do the math, to about half the cost of the usual tuition fees. And that's a very, very rare offer.
It's only going to be for 30 days.
Yes. The deadline on this is March 18th.
It can't be for May's class. It can't be.
May's class starts on the 19th.
But March 18th is gone, hon.
May.
Oh, I thought you said
May. May. Let me make that clear. May 18th is the deadline. We've extended that out for, 3 months? They can take advantage of the offer if they get their paperwork in.
They have to have everything in by that deadline, but they can take their class when they want it.
Okay.
Oh, 3 months, I think
so
they said.
It's a very, and you know, these classes fill up very quickly, especially with this offer going right now. I know we've recruited a lot of students here recently. We've still got seats to fill up, so.
Well, we try to keep it at about 10.
Yeah.
And we're over that at this point, so we may open another class in May, if people need it right away, or we just...
There are weekend classes available as well.
Yes.
For those of you who, you know, find it difficult to get a whole week off and the weekends work out better, we also are flexible with the weekends.
For professionals that can't do this, you know, during the week, because the class is 5 days long. So we did it on 3 weekends, and we've already had one of those sessions go on. People liked it a lot. It seemed to be a lot more slow paced, and people didn't have to take off work to do it. So I like doing it that way. Well, we have a listener question, and I did find it while you were talking. On the show, you guys talk about vocal profiling a lot. The show's called Vocal Profiling a lot. It's what you guys do, and it's fascinating. But can you explain how the rest of us can do this on our own? I don't want to call the office every week to have my print done. I want to do it myself. So there's two answers to that. One, yes, you can continue to call the office and have it done, or you can set in our preview classes and have it done. Or we want to teach you to do it on your own. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Plus, you can do prints for your family, and you can start your own business with this.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to take calls, and we are going to call a few people who have taken the class, a novice, a sort of a mid-range person, and somebody who's been doing it for a long time. And we're just going to have them talk to you about it because we think we're prejudiced about what these classes are. But we're going to give you lots of information. There's more questions about the logistics of taking a class, and those have come in. So I'm going to call Jillian here. I called her earlier, and she was in the middle of supper at a busy restaurant. She was like shouting, call me later. Yes, yes, I'll do it. I love it.
Hello?
Hi, Joanne. This is Sherry. And you're on the speaker phone, and you're live on our BBS radio show, Vocal Profiling Live, and we're doing a show tonight.
Okay.
We're doing a show tonight about what it's like to take class. And since you're a newbie at this and have that perspective of a newbie, I thought maybe you could answer the question, what's it like to take vocal profiling classes?
Okay.
Tell the truth.
When I went last summer to take the course, it was overwhelming. I thought, how am I going to learn all this stuff? But, you know, every evening I would go back to the hotel and reread everything and try to, you know, take in as much as I could and make sense out of it. And then I think coming to some of the follow-up workshops were on the Sundays, when I would listen to the classes, things would start to click. Is that kind of what you meant?
And you went to some conferences with us too, didn't you?
I went to the conferences. That built up my confidence a whole bunch. I did like that. And I'm looking forward to coming to Columbus this weekend too to join you. I'm at a point where I've now been kind of reading and studying since last July, and and I've been setting up an office in my home, and I hope to set up a practice.
What was your background before this?
My background was teaching. I teach children with special education, and it was last year in May when I heard you on Coast to Coast that all of a sudden so many of the things that you were sharing on that program made me think, these are the kids I work with. Maybe there's something I can really do to help them more so than what I've been doing in the classroom.
So is your favorite program the pre-vac one for the kids?
You know, I haven't gotten that yet. I don't know if I bought it at the last workshop or conference that I went to, but since I've been back, I've been teaching full-time, and so I haven't had time to get, you know, to go into the program. But I'm just dying of curiosity to get into it and to see how it works with the kids.
So even full-time jobbed people can take this course?
Yes, I was able to fit it in, you know, to take the class, but not yet to, you know, to actually set up my business. And that's the part that's kind of been frustrating to me, to be able to sit down every day and to do the vocals and the sounds and just to get into it more.
But we keep bothering you, don't we, and making you take Sunday classes or asking you to or offering them, just enticing you to.
Well, that's not bothering me at all. It's just trying to, you know, fit it in. But no, that's not a bother at all. I like doing that because that's exciting. That's very exciting.
Well, one of the reasons we invite new people or old-timers to go to conferences with us so they can see people's reactions and how much people like this stuff. What happened? Just tell people what it's like to go to a conference with us.
You mean like that expo that we went to last fall?
Yes.
Where we did the vocal, the invoice with people?
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. People would come up to do the invoice, and they're very skeptical, and we would take the voice print, and then the program would come out explaining about their personality, and they were greeted, and they would say, that's it, that's us, you know, and they just couldn't get over the fact that it was all there in their voice. That was really amazing. That was fun. The people who would deny it, their wives would say, no, that's you, honey.
That
was
like that.
So
even though it was things that they knew about themselves or their husband knew about them or wife,
right.
It was impressive that a computer knew it and could tell it from their voice.
Right. And that was quite exciting, quite astounding.
Were you surprised by anything that came out on your print?
I knew that was me. I guess I was just surprised that it was coming through because, when I was sitting there, and talking, I didn't know that I was divulging any part of me. But I was. So, you know, that was interesting.
I remember the first time I listened to your voice and I said, you're the voice of a trainer or a teacher. And you were a little surprised at that, I think.
Yeah.
You have a favorite part of bioacoustics that you like?
I think every time I learn something new, that becomes my favorite. because when I was first exposed to the invoice, I think I even told you at the conference in March, I kind of thought of it as kind of fluff, kind of something that was amusing. But then as we looked through and saw that, that the notes related to different parts in your system, that it kind of gave you a springboard for looking further into certain areas of problems that were in your health, and that surprised me because I wasn't expecting that out of the invoice. I just thought the invoice was, like a little fortune telling or something. I don't know. It just, but it was so much more. It was so much more, and that just it still amazes me. And I almost see that as I intend to do an invoice with everyone who comes through before I get their other vocal print or you know do their Nutra you know
nutrition. Do you do this with your family and friends?
I've done it with some of my friends, yes, and I even did my husband, which he was surprised. He was real surprised because he's very skeptic about everything, but he's been very quietly supportive of me in this.
It's okay if people are skeptical. It works anyway. Did you take the bio diet, the all-day bio diet class we did last, was it Friday?
I did that last weekend. I just cleared my day so I could do that because I was really anxious to hear Nikki present that material again. She had presented it at the conference, and I wanted to hear it again. I figure I'll probably need to hear it again several more times before I feel comfortable and confident to go further with it. But tonight when you, I was having supper with a friend, and I told her, I'm going to learn as much as I can, and I want you to be my guinea pig before I start doing these things. Because I feel that I need to do a couple of my friends so that I can, again, gain confidence before I actually set up my business.
So you've been doing this part-time. Oh, one of the things I'm really impressed about Nikki's research in her diet program, she went through all the neurotransmitters and the receivers and that protein. You know, and we have used that bio diet program several times this week on kids that had learning disabilities, and it's working. We had to put all of those in the pre-vac program, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So.
See, it's frustrating me right now that I'm, as much as I love teaching and what I'm doing, I would love to be sitting on, you know, on your shoulder or in a corner when you're doing some of these things to see it firsthand with you using it with the kids because there are just too many children out there who have learning disabilities and that I know could be benefiting from more than what they're getting. And in many cases, they're getting nothing because their families don't know what to do. And I don't think medicating and masking the problem is the answer.
I don't think the medical community knows what to do either, and that's one of the neat things we can do. We can look at transcription. We can look at methylation. We can look at are they allergic to wheat or milk or those kinds of things. And even if we don't present sound to them, we can give them lots and lots of information.
And when I've asked different parents if their child was allergic or sensitive to things like wheat and milk and whatever, they don't know. And I don't know that they know what to be even looking for. Because they're, again, as you say, the medical community isn't quite sure what to do with it all.
Well, this is so easy. Take a little printer of their voice, run it through a program, and you got a report in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
The kid today, we did 4 or 5 prints on him, and it was all about glutathione S transferase, and his doctor hadn't even tested him for that, which is it's an enzyme that allows them or helps them do methylation and use minerals and that kind of thing. So I think that's my favorite program, the one that helps the kids.
So you're talking about is it NVAC or?
The pre-vac. Pre-vac.
Pre-vac.
Yeah.
Well.
Joanne.
I can hardly wait till June 8th when I can really sit down and look at it all day long.
Is there any warnings you would give to people taking a class or any support? Any words you want to tell them?
Well, I would encourage them if they're curious about it to do it. I would encourage them to stick with it if they even if they're starting to feel overwhelmed. I think when you feel overwhelmed, you should realize it's because there's so much to learn, not that it's too much to learn, that it will all come at the right time. And I think that every day when I came back to class, I was reassured that even if I thought I was lost, to just hang in there. It was all going to make sense soon. And so, yes, I would encourage them.
You have the forum, too, after class for that they can ask. You can ask questions, and you can call us, and you can jump online with us. So we try to be very supportive of serious people who are taking the class.
Well, I found that, you know, I don't think I was ever, whenever I've made a phone call, I don't think I was ever turned away, when I had a question. And so I found that was very nice. I appreciated it.
So from Joanne's point of view, you can be a professional and you can start this part-time and slow and your curiosity builds. And you want more.
Yes. And I am so looking forward to seeing you guys this weekend, and I'm so looking forward to summertime when I can, spend more time and fully immerse myself.
Well, it's great. We'll see you in Columbus, and we'll have a good time, and thanks for talking to us and letting people know what it's really like.
Well, thank you for even calling me. I appreciate that. I like being a part of this. Thank you.
We'll give you a copy of the show.
Thank you.
Okay. One of the things that people have asked recently in emails, and if you want to call us, guys, it's 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, 877-489-6350 worldwide, the direct line, 530-776-5154. You can always get us on radio at vocalprofiling.com. A lot of our people do that. And I think we have one already come in. Heather, they can write to you too, right?
Heather at vocalprofiling.com. If you can't get right through to Sherry, you can usually get through to me. You can always call the office too, and feel free to ask any questions. If I can answer them, I certainly will. That number is 740-698-9119.
And if you can't remember all of those numbers, go to bbsradio.com, and they can find our homepage. Just look under my name, Sherry Edwards, or the show's name, Vocal Profiling Live, and find us there. Now, Heather, this was a question. It's never occurred to us to answer this question, I don't think. Who or what is Sound Health that you talk about on the show, and what's the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology that it shows on your door? Now, it's obviously somebody who's been here asking that question, because I don't think that shows in the picture. So I'm going to answer one part of the question, and you're going to answer the other.
Okay.
Here at Sound Health, we're really a research institute, and we study the effects of low-frequency sound on human physiology and biology and emotion. So if we give you a sound, like almost on all the shows, we run a sound in the background just to see what the reaction is. Tonight we're running...
And I'm loving this sound.
Tonight we're running progesterone, which is a hormone that Heather needs at the moment. I heard what she needed. I put it on. But, folks, the same frequency for progesterone is the frequency of marijuana.
I wondered why I was feeling so much more relaxed. But you know what? It also took my headache away. I'm feeling pretty good. Thanks.
That's one of the things I do. I listen to people's sounds, and I can kind of tell, and that's what we've... computerized.
That never fails to amaze me, that you automatically know and can flip a switch, turn on a sound, and then amazingly, and I'm here to tell you it works, you feel better just by listening to the sound in the background. You don't even really listen to it. You don't really even know it's there because it is such a low tone.
How much of that is just charisma and you're going to just believe me, Heather?
There's been times when you've prove me wrong, and I didn't want you to be right. And I had to say, okay, you're right.
Well, the other day I pulled a really dirty trick on Heather. we've been experimenting with a sound, some of the research here, that distorts the perception of time. And I didn't want to predispose anybody, and so I put that sound in Heather's environment and then waited for her reaction. And the reaction was...
I come down and I said, Sherry, I'm so productive today. I've just gotten so much done. I'm so proud of myself.
And I just sneaked a little smile in there and waited till the rest of the day. Were you hyper or was it a calm get something done?
It was a good productive, not hyper, but energetic.
Did you have the feeling that your time was being changed or distorted or anything?
No, I just thought I was being really a good worker that day.
No, some of the other people, one of the people that have tested this for us is our attorney. And we asked his wife to put it on for him, and we asked him later. He said, well, I started work at 11 on this project, and the next 2 or 3 minutes I looked up, and it was 1 o'clock, and I had a day's work done. He said, it's the damnedest thing.
Well, you don't really realize that it's happening, but you are getting so much done, and then the next thing you know, it's time to go home, and you wonder where that time went. But you also got all of your work done and then some. So it worked out great for me. And then Bailey said, so I hear Sherry did this to you and told me about the whole time experiment. And I just kind of looked at her and all I could say was, huh. And she says, I think that's the first time I've ever heard you speechless.
Yeah. But here's an odd one, and you can talk about this or not. Here's an odd thing. Yes, I can hear it through people's speech. Yes, I can hear it just by standing next to you. Yes, I can do it for a picture. We did a cat last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I've begun to be able to feel people's energy and hear their sounds through their written word.
You did that to me last night. And actually, you did that with my dog, which was kind of amazing.
You want to talk about that? Because we're talking about signature sounds here, guys.
So... Sure, I think Sherry's pretty in tune with me anyways, and we were chatting over the internet last night. I was at home.
Writing to each other.
Writing, yeah, on the, it was a Gmail program. And I had my dog on my lap, and I said something about my dog, and she says, the dog wants his tummy rubbed, and he's laying there looking at me, wanting his tummy rubbed. I said, okay, stop that now. So, yeah, it is kind of neat. You know, there's always something new and exciting going on around here. Just, you know, kind of off-the-wall things like that, which keeps me highly entertained around here.
Well, we're talking about signature sounds. Everybody has an identifying cumulative frequency set. And you have all of these other frequencies going on, you know, that feed your heart and your tummy and your head and whatever. But altogether, you have a signature sound, which is really a signature octave. And that's what we're able to tap into using your voice or your words or energies that you project. So it's like esoterically you'd say aura, but somebody else would be reading a myelogram or the frequencies off your muscles or whatever. So it's a bridge between psychic and science that we're looking at here. And you can do even future things with this if you start to tune in. And what we've done over the last 20, 30 years here is just begin to use my ears to tap into people or my ability to know what someone is saying underneath their words and look at them. And we try not to be intrusive with that at the same time because people really value their privacy. We had a guy in the other day and he was pretending to be all humble and innocent and sweet and whatever. And you look at his vocal print, and you can see rage underneath. And this is just a pretense, a game with him to see what he can get away with by pretending to be this humble, loving kind of guy. And it's just all a farce. So those are the kinds of things that we study here and that we use. And that's the sound health kind of mission. Okay, would you tell them what Sound Health is as a facility? What do we look like?
We are a wonderful old high school and then elementary school as well. It was built in, when was this building built?
Early 1900s.
Yeah, it's a beautiful brown brick building, three stories. We have wood floors, wood fixture, all original. It feels like a school, you know. It's got that really energetic, homey vibe to it. And
I think it feels warm here.
It does feel warm, you know. It feels like home.
Wow. I felt that way about it, but I didn't know you did.
Yeah, I feel really comfortable here. You know, a lot of the girls are like, what if it's haunted? Because it is a big old creaky, you know, building. But it's wonderful, you know.
Well, one of the things that happened when I first came into the school, and I graduated from here many, many moons ago. Well, 1965, so that, you know, 40-some years or so, I think. And there was one spot in this one room that it felt so warm and so loving to me. I wanted my desk there in that room because it just felt good to me. And so some people were over here kind of looking at the building, and I sort of gravitated over and stood in that spot that I loved, and my son came in. My son's like 34 or 5 now. I don't remember. I don't pay attention to kids' ages or mine either. And he said, Mom, you're standing right where I spent 2 years in class.
Yeah.
He had been in the fourth, I think it was the fourth and fifth grade, had been in the same room for him. And that had been his seat.
Wow. That's amazing.
So this energy stuff that people talk about, but they can't really express in scientific terms, or a lot of them can't. That's the kind of thing that we express here, and you can feel the energy of the building. I love the wooden doors. I love the outside facade. I love the little playground. We don't have much grass.
Wish there was a bathroom on the third floor. Like
a play. And the elevator. When we have to carry heavy things up from the kitchen.
But, yeah, it's wonderful. There's a lot of room here, which we needed a lot of room from where we moved, although it was a wonderful place where we were. We've got so much space to grow in here.
Well, in that other place, we had like 6 people in one room, off in little teeny cubbies. And here, everybody here can have their own sounds all day long.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I loved about. And we have room to expand. Everything's right here. We used to have things, storage over there and another workplace here. And now we're all
on one central location.
Yeah, we're all brought together as a family. So the answer to your question, what is Sound Health? We're a research facility studying how your health can be affected by frequency, because we think the conventional healthcare system is kind of rotten. And if, although they're doing, a lot of people are doing the best they can, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of pharmaceutical problems. There are a lot of HMO problems. There are a lot of insurance problems. Doctors are just being tied up in knots financially over this. People are suing, and HMOs is kind of a place where they can go and kind of be protected, but then the HMO dictates to them. And I think doctors became doctors mostly because they really wanted to help, and now they can't. They've just been tied up with...
Insurance companies have their hands tied, and that's got to be frustrating to the doctors as well, I'm sure.
Well, you can come in with a migraine, and they do this, 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 and this, and this. For instance, they'll send you for... a picture of your head, what do they call it, MRI, or a CAT scan, for a headache. And the HMOs own the CAT scan stuff, so they're just perpetuating their own money. They own their own labs, so they send you for lab tests, and it's their own money they're perpetuating again and again and again. And it used to be that some of the doctors owned some of those until they stopped that as a... what's a non-competitive kind of thing? They weren't allowed to compete. Like doctors aren't allowed to get kickbacks from drug companies, what do you call that? But it just got so bad, even with the HMOs, but it started really low. And we want to be the option for people's health, for their self-health. So we started a non-profit part of what we do, which is called the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, so that we can accept research funds and donations and things like that. And a lot of people give donations, and then we can pass those on to people who can't afford the clinical services. It never occurred to me to really explain to people what we are, and we're solid, and it's a grand building. If you'd look at it, you would think we were incredibly rich, but the community is really supporting us in being here. And
well, we've got the mayor's office in with us on the other side of the building, and they love it. They can't believe all the great change. They love that we have taken such loving care of their building, and it's beautiful. You know, it was always nice, and now it's just even that much better. And the fact that we still continue to educate in the building, I think, is a big bonus, too.
And the mayor comes to our shindig.
Yeah.
How about that?
He had a good time.
And we involve the local school. We hire a lot of their students.
Mm-hmm. I have some wonderful interns right now from the local colleges, two of the local colleges. So,
and
it's going very well.
And we're getting an intern about writing, because you had this writing idea. Talk about that.
I'm now pushing Sherry very hard to get a book. I said that is my sincerest wish for Sherry right now, is to get a book out there. You know, that's such an, it's not an easy way, but it's a great, wonderful way to put into concise form Sherry's mind, which is really hard to do sometimes.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, I just want to come there and just have your mind, and just you dump everything in the mind. How many people say that?
I hear that about every week, especially from our students.
And they already have a lot, but they still want to hang around and get more. You know, one of the things Joanne said, intense and a lot of information. I'm calling Chris, by the way, because one of the other questions was, what's a typical class like and what will I learn? So, Chris, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Thanks for agreeing to be on the show and answering from a new student's perspective.
Sure.
What's a typical class like, and what will people learn?
Well, I don't know if I know what a typical class is like.
What was your class like?
Well, similar to Joanne, we would go back and study at night to try and keep up for the next day. So there's a lot of information. It can kind of be like standing in front of a fire hydrant. So
trying to get a drink.
But that's really, to me, that's also really, you know, that's really exciting, because it's not some stale information that is not going to be very useful once you leave. It's really, it really has a lot of energy to it, and is going to be, you know, something that can be very useful.
One of the things that impressed me was you came here loaded with information anyway, and really intrigued us to do a project. So it's not just us giving you information, it's also an exchange of information. So would you agree that it's kind of intense?
Yes, it's intense. And I use the analogy of playing the piano or doing something that requires skill at learning a language, in that you're not going to you're not going to absorb all of that and develop those skills instantaneously. But it takes, you know, with practice and time, then you can build the neural pathways to be able to, you know, become efficient.
Do you have a favorite part or a favorite program?
The favorite part for me is the whole process, and the fact that it is just amazingly efficient. If you look at just the diagnostic part, or, you know, I don't know if we can use those words, but the ability to collect information, that alone is amazing, in that it's not, you know, if you want to measure, as you were mentioning earlier, someone's glutathione level, you're not having to do that via a blood test, blood draw, which certainly kids aren't too excited about, usually. But you can do that very quickly, And for no, you know, it's a fixed cost that you make an investment in the technology, and then if you want to do it every day, then you can do it every day. It's and get the results back very quickly. So you're also not waiting for a long time. You know, you get this result back. You took the test a couple weeks ago. How relevant is that for you right at that moment? So then not only that, of course, but being able to then, once you have that data, being able to implement it, support it via sound and frequency, as well as, you know, via physical substances and diet, you know, is equally amazing.
So you learned in class a particular set of steps to evaluate someone. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So in class we went through the process, and I guess I think of it as sort of those are like the fundamentals or the beginning points. So we take the voice sample, the vocal profile, and then we start to analyze that from looking at which areas are the most out of balance, and narrowing that down from 100,000 points down to 24, and then starting to use this software that you guys have developed to look at the relationships and the harmonics and the different structures within, you know, the interrelationships within those dynamics of those areas that are most out of balance that we're examining to figure out what those are and how to bring them more in balance.
And you set somebody down in front of a microphone.
Yeah, so you're just taking your tool is a standard laptop, a microphone that connects via USB ports. So these are, you know, easily, commonly available equipment for the most part. And you're recording that voice sample, saving it as a WAV file, which is, you know, a small file, that you save on your computer. And, you know, you could email it to somebody else to analyze it, for instance. You take that that WAV file, and then you are you're using the software programs that you've developed in order to start to narrow that down and focus in on the particular areas that are most out of balance.
Is it a hard thing to do?
Well, there again, I kind of would use that the analogy of whether you're practicing Tai Chi or learning piano. It's you know, you can learn the fundamentals, and, you know, are you going to be playing in Carnegie Hall right after you leave class?
Good.
Most people probably are not going to be doing that. But you can, I don't know how to answer that. It is overwhelming. There is a lot of information. I find that very exciting. You're not going to develop that skill, you know, instantaneously. So I don't think it's hard on one hand, but there's a lot of, there's just so much to learn and so many facets and nuances. So I think as you become more familiar and as you practice more, then you start to be able to appreciate more nuances and be able to take more things into account and become more comprehensive.
Could you practice right after class?
Yes, I've been practicing. We were practicing in class at night. You go home and you practice. So I haven't stopped practicing since I left.
Is there a real hard part of this class that you could warn people about?
Well, I think that one of the sort of foundational things that's not directly related, but it's just your familiarity with the computer and with Windows, Microsoft Windows, you know, that's going to be helpful because just using the programs and being competent to navigate those things is going to help and just make it a little more quick. I think I've noticed that there are people that come to the class that have a musical background, and I have some musical background. And that, I think, you know, that maybe helps too, where, you know, you're already coming with some some knowledge or some, you know, some information about frequency that you've had in your past experience.
I don't know anything about music. I can't even sing, Chris. So that's a great thing to have, but boy, it's not required.
Yeah.
Did this, what you learned in class, allow you to look at the body different than you looked at it before?
Well, it allowed me to look at it differently. It allows, so far it's starting to just, before it was like I'm looking through very thick glass, you know, like I need glasses and it's very foggy and you really can't see, and when you are trying to get data about the body, whether it's learning disabilities or behavioral issues or biomedical information, that process of being able to get that data was so hard and expensive. And now you have the possibility of doing that very quickly, of having very clear vision and very good acuity, and just being able to gather that information and quickly act on it. If it takes so much work to take one step, then you can't really get, to the other side of the room. And if each step is so much easier and so much quicker, then you have extra time and energy to really become, to cover so much more ground.
One of the things I like about it, if you suspect your kid's allergic to banana, you can take their vocal print and then feed them a banana and take another vocal print. You can see what their banana did to their body. I love that part. For me, it helps look at the body mechanisms differently than I looked at them before. Because a psoas muscle, a hip muscle gets sore, or your lower back gets sore. Not only does it mean, okay, that muscle's at issue, but maybe the biochemical that's the same frequency as that muscle is at issue. And it lets me see the redundancy and the intelligence of
yes.
the body.
That's certainly one way that it's a new thought process for me, is that the information and the knowledge that you've shared with us that the frequencies are redundant, and so there is even more interplay between the different systems of the body than what I had previously understood.
Did you attend our extra class about cancer, about the cancer markers? Were you at that class?
Was that a phone?
It was an online class about a couple months ago that we did, about all the different kinds of cancers that we could see with...
Yeah, no, I missed that.
I was going to talk about that. Do you find those extra classes helpful?
Absolutely.
You know, after classes and...
Absolutely. I find everything you say helpful.
Wow. What kinds of things do you use this for?
Well, after the class, I've been practicing and then starting with myself and my son and my wife and my other son. So that's been my primary, just studying so far has been my primary activity, and then working with the family. And then what I'm just, starting and almost starting to do is to work with, I want to work and help other people, too. And I have a coworker who has now a 9-year-old daughter who is severely autistic and has a big seizure problem. And so I just got some of the first vocal prints from her.
One of the things I love about you being part of this is you find things and you send us articles and you make us think. And this is not just you taking a class. This is almost like you becoming a part of a family that wants to create a system that everyone can use.
Absolutely. I've been very excited by everyone at Sound Health and your attitude and motivation is to have these technology and these processes and systems and to help people. And it's not about it's not about some administrative red tape and a lot of ancillary things, but I can tell that your motivation is, you know, is really to help people, and you have some amazing revolutionary tools to do so.
Chris, I can't believe we're out of time. It is amazing that when we're talking about things we love, it goes so quickly, and we want to help so many people. So those of you out there who are interested at all in taking this class, please get in touch with us. We'll try to make arrangements to get you in here as soon as possible. Help us serve the world, which is what we want. There's so much need with overweight and autistic kids and heart disease and diabetes and inflammation and allergies that we've been able to help people with. We are totally out of time. Next week, we are going to talk about setting up your bioacoustic business and continue along the same line. We've got some emails. I'll try to answer those next week, too. Thank you, Chris, for being with us. Thank you, Joanne, for allowing us to talk to you. Liz, who is going to talk to us about bioacoustic business, will talk to you and bring you on next week. We appreciate all of you listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.